As I was meditating upon our readings for this Sunday, it struck me that we have in the passages from the Old Testament, the Gospel, and St. Paul, images of conversion. So what is conversion? Conversion means from a way in which we're perhaps preoccupied with ourselves and the world at a way that excludes God, and then we come into this place of a kind of an awakening where we realize that there is this call of God on our lives. And anyone here who's been following in the way of Jesus for any length of time knows that conversion is never a one and done. It is an ongoing opportunity to enter more fully into a deepening relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the ways to think about the meaning of the word conversion is that it is a turning. It doesn't just have to do with our mind, it actually has to do with the orientation of our body and how we are living our lives. And what we see at play, particularly in the readings from Jonah and the Gospel, is this very thing. The people who respond to God have an actual change in their physical orientation. For instance, let's think about Jonah. Jonah was known as the reluctant prophet. God had asked Jonah to go to Nineveh, and we read this in the first chapter of this book. But what we see happening with Jonah, God says, Jonah, I want you to go east, and what Jonah ends up doing is going west. For instance, look at this map. God wanted Jonah to go here to Nineveh, but what Jonah did is he went over here to Spain to a place called Tarshish. In other words, at first, Jonah went in the exact opposite direction from what God was calling him to. And here's the important thing that is missed in our first reading today, because the reading actually leaves out a key word. The passage in chapter 3 that we have today should be heard this way. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. So this wasn't the first time that God spoke to Jonah. No, this is actually the second time. But in between being here in Tarshish or going in that direction, somewhere here in the Mediterranean, we know that Jonah has a crisis of whale-sized proportions. And as a result of that crisis, something changes in Jonah's life. He's now in a place where, at least with his ears, he can hear the call of God on his life, even if yet his heart has not yet turned fully to God. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a moment. But what we now see with Jonah, here is poor Jonah after the fish has spit him up, and he is on the shore, and then the Lord speaks to him, and the text from the book of Jonah has these words. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh. This is the second time God has given Jonah this direction. And proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh. But here's the thing you need to appreciate about Jonah. He doesn't go with a very merciful heart. He actually goes there, and he declares these words, 40 days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. I mean, at some level, you see, Jonah does not expect the conversion of the Ninevites. At some level, he wants them to be toasty critters. He wants them to be like marshmallows burnt up in the fire. And yet, what is so surprising is that as Jonah speaks these words, something happens to the Ninevites. Oh, by the way, at this time, the Ninevites are the prominent world power in that region. They are considered one of the perennial enemies of the people of God. And yet, in this story of conversion, something remarkable happens. Jonah speaks, and the people of Nineveh listen. This is what the text tells us. The people of Nineveh believe God, and they proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. What we see here is something remarkable. They believed God as he spoke through Jonah. And even though Jonah's heart lacked mercy, the heart of God did not lack mercy, because he sees the conversion and he celebrates what is happening here. And this next text makes this point very clear for us. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity he said he would bring on them, and he did not do it. This is a beautiful description of conversion. The people, remember I said before that the word conversion means a turning? Well, here we're told that the people of Nineveh turned from their evil ways. They moved in a new direction. And then it says that God changed his mind about the calamity that he would bring upon them. What does this mean? Well, think about it this way. Because the people had been living in ways that were evil, the direction of their lives would have evil consequences, what we would call a calamity. But now that they're turning towards God, they're entering into this new place of being, they're open to his will, this calamity can be averted because they are receptive to the leading of God. And this is what it means to say that God changes his mind, because the Ninevites had changed their mind about God. And that's the first thing I want to emphasize about conversion. Conversion has to do with changing our mind about God. In today's gospel, Jesus says, repent and believe. And the word repent actually means to have a change of mind. And this is what we see repeatedly through the biblical tradition. I want to just share with you a lovely little story about a 14-year-old girl who came to see me yesterday. And this girl, who's not Catholic, she wants to draw close to God. And in her mind, she's thinking, well, there's something about the Catholic Mass that is perhaps a way for me to draw close to God, to experience his love. Now, this girl's never been to a Catholic Mass in her life. And yet now, she would like to be baptized in the Catholic Church. And so we're going to begin this journey with her. And this seems to me just a lovely story of God working in the life of a 14-year-old who is having this awakening, this turning towards God, having a mind that wants to consider the things of God. That's the first point that I want to leave us with this morning. And the second is this. When we come to conversion, it always happens in a world like this. A world where there is a very different narrative from the kingdom narrative that is always at play. In our gospel today, we're told, and it's almost a throwaway line, that John the Baptist has been arrested. Now, here's the thing you need to appreciate about this. We understand and believe that at least Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, had been a disciple of John the Baptist. And perhaps even John the Evangelist had been a disciple of John the Baptist. And so they would have known John. And if you were at Mass last Sunday, you'll remember that in that story, we have actually the first encounter between Jesus, Andrew, and Simon Peter, because Andrew introduces Simon, his brother, to Jesus. And so what we have to see and understand, you can imagine for these friends of St. John the Baptist, how unsettled they must be, knowing that their friend is now in jail. And not only is in jail, this man, Herod Antipas, is the one who is behind his imprisonment. And here's the thing that's sort of striking about Herod. He was actually attracted to the teaching of John. He found him someone that was good to listen to. But it doesn't in any way lead to a change in Herod's mind or a conversion in his heart. He becomes more and more resistant and eventually has John the Baptist, as you perhaps know, beheaded. But here's the point that I'm wanting to emphasize. In this world, it's not just a question of turning towards God, it's also an invitation to begin to listen to God in the course of our daily lives. But because there are so many other stories that are like the Herod story, it can be hard for us to hear the voice of Jesus and listen to him. But when we learn this way, when we are gaining this perspective, then we can hear these very peculiar words from St. Paul from the reading we had from 1 Corinthians 7, where he says, "Brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as those they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as if they had no dealings with it." What in the world does this mean? It has to do with priorities. It has to do with what is going to be first in our lives. And what St. Paul wants us to understand, what Jesus is teaching today, is there is this kingdom that is now at hand, that we are invited to respond to. And when we come to a deepening appreciation of the reality of this kingdom, then with St. Paul, we can indeed affirm that the appointed time has grown short, the present form of this world is passing away. Let me tell you a story of a couple who are involved in our RCIA. These are a beautiful young couple. And they were sharing with me back at the beginning of January how at Easter in 2023, they got dressed up and they had a lovely Easter dinner and they celebrated the Easter bunny and that kind of thing. But it was very worldly. And they came to the realization that there needs to be more to the meaning of Easter than we are currently experiencing. And there are many other things at work in this couple's life, but this was a prompt for them to realize the world and all that it offers is not enough. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't give that meaning and purpose to life. And I'm glad to say that this couple has enrolled in RCIA, and that they are on this journey. They're here this morning, and it is just a delight to get to know them, to see how they are gaining the perspective of St. Paul, that the present form of the world is passing away. So we want to learn a greater detachment from this world so that we can be more fully attached to Jesus Christ. So it's a turning towards God. It's a learning to listen to the voice of God. And then the third point that I'd like to make this morning about conversion is it's a learning to follow in the way of Jesus. We read in today's gospel these words. When Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew cast their net into the sea. Now, don't miss the point here. Jesus shows up in the area that is Simon and Andrew's kind of home turf. He meets them at their own place. And as I said a minute ago, remember, this is not the first meeting between Jesus and these men. Like with Jonah in our first reading, this is the second meeting. And so now, in a sense, the word of Jesus is coming to them a second time. But here's the thing that I want you to see. Conversion always begins with Jesus looking at us. It begins with his glance in our way. Again, think back to God and the Ninevites. God saw the Ninevites before the Ninevites saw God. And this is what is always going on in the purposes of Jesus, that he is the one who is always saying, "I invite you to come and to follow me." And one of the things that we discover as we come into a relationship with Jesus, while it's true at times we see his face and we delight in seeing his love and the glimpses of his beautiful mercy towards us, oftentimes in this world, it's more like, well, we're following him and we're seeing him from behind. And I have here an image of Jesus walking on water, and I've chosen this on purpose, because in the Bible, water represents the realm that is kind of unsettled, the realm that is tumultuous. In a way, the water represents this world. And as we seek to follow Jesus through this world, what we're wanting to do is keeping focused on him and not, so to speak, on the waves that might be all around us. But this is not an easy thing to do. This is something that requires purpose and intention and consistency. This is, of course, the first calling of St. Peter here in Mark chapter 1. But if you were to go over to John's Gospel in the 21st chapter, you'll remember that story perhaps of Jesus after his resurrection. He has breakfast with St. Peter. And he then goes on to tell St. Peter that he's going to be called to sacrifice his life in a certain way. Peter's none too pleased with what he hears about being crucified, perhaps upside down. And so his response is, well, what about my friend John the Evangelist over here? What's going to happen to him? And Jesus says, Peter, don't worry about John, but you come and follow me. This is what conversion is always about, this invitation to come and follow. Let me conclude with one other RCA story. There's a man, again, he's here this morning, and I'm thankful that he's allowed me to share his story. In the fall, he started to take the Alpha course. And he would have said that when he came, he was an atheist. Over the course of taking the Alpha course and becoming involved in RCIA, there has literally been a change of direction in his life, a conversion, a turning. And so this man is now at the place where he wants to be baptized. He wants to come into the church. And what does that then mean for us at St. Peter's? We are to be fishers of men and women. We are to be a community that's not having the attitude of Jonah, God wants you to get it. No, we are to be a community that has the attitude of Jesus. God wants you to get his love, his mercy, his grace, his goodness. And so may we, beloved brothers and sisters, know the gaze, the loving gaze, the merciful gaze of Jesus, who is always looking. He is always calling. And he's inviting us to say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. I pray that these images of conversion this morning can be an encouragement to each one of us as we continue on our journey through this world, asking for the Holy Spirit in each of our lives to bring ever more to fruition what it means to be turned to Jesus and to follow him.